tonight, as the grim specter of war hovers threateningly over both our horizons, we bring you a man whose life is dedicated to the service of his country. He is Edwin C. Johnson, United States Senator from Colorado. Senator Johnson speaks to you tonight under the auspices of the America First Committee, a strictly nonpartisan organization of loyal American citizens who believe that the welfare of this country depends on keeping out of foreign entanglements and foreign wars in Asia or in Europe. This committee actively urges the support of political candidates, whether Republican or Democratic, who will use their influence and their votes to keep America out of wars abroad. The America First Committee acknowledges that many sincere and patriotic Americans believe in sending aid to a belligerent, believe that war is inevitable. But war is not inevitable. No nation or no group of nations dares attack a prepared America. And the preservation of our democratic liberties depends on our defending America first, last, and always. The America First Committee is supported by voluntary contributions of time and money from the American public. Its acting chairman is General Robert E. Wood of Chicago. Among the members of the National Committee are such unimpeachable patriotic citizens as General Hugh S. Johnson, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker, Hanford McNider, Mrs. Burton K. Wheeler, John P. Flynn, Miss Catherine Lewis, Bishop Wilbur E. Hamilton, William R. Castle, and Lessing Rosenwald. The message which Senator Johnson brings you tonight is vitally important. Ladies and gentlemen, Senator Edwin C. Johnson.
It is humiliating to be caught waving an empty pistol again, and especially is it humiliating to have Japan, of all people, call our bluff. In the circumstances, it will require great strength of character to control our angry passions in the latest international crisis. We are proudly demanding in a boisterous tone the status quo in the Orient, with no method other than war to enforce our demand. Yet in the same breath we piously repeat, we hate war. Now do we or do we not hate war? Do we hate war enough to keep out of the Far East? Or will we hover around the strangely fascinating, enticing, enchanted Orient like the moth around the light until we are burned to a crisp in another world war? That question we must resolve, and resolve quickly. I have a very old friend who is putting a lot of money into the acquisition of a big red nose. As he gulps down a drink, he shudders and quivers and twists his face in agony and hisses, "I hate whiskey." And then he orders another whiskey. His statement that he hates whiskey is not very convincing, and neither is the statement officially issued periodically and often, "I hate war." Actions speak louder than words, my friends. It isn't enough to chant with the crowd, "I hate war." War is not inevitable. War can be avoided. America can escape from the scourge of war if her statesmen will but measure up to their exalted position. The defeatist, the weakling, the selfish, and the ambitious would have us believe otherwise. They say war no longer can be accepted or rejected as a matter of free choice. Men who utter such a statement of despair have small faith in America's ability to mind American business. If we are not free to accept or reject war, we are slaves to every war that breaks out any place upon this quarrelsome earth. And if that be true, we are slaves indeed. If we are not free people to accept or reject war, we should do something constructive right now to correct that deplorable situation. Obviously, that something is to build our defenses on the land and on the sea and in the air so strong that the pestilence of war can be effectively isolated from these shores. And in addition, determine once and for all that we will not be drawn into other people's wars. Down with the spirit of defeatism and despair, and up with the spirit of confidence, backed by dry gunpowder and straight thinking. May America express her hatred of war, not with lip service and hypocritical words, but with tanks and guns and ships and planes. A good defense is not enough. It must be coupled with wise diplomacy to ensure American peace. I know of no real statesman in all the world who gives the First World War credit for solving the causes of that war. Winston Churchill made this striking observation concerning it. I quote, "Victory was to be bought so dear as to be almost indistinguishable from defeat. It was not to give security even to the victors." And Bryan said, "In modern war, there is no victory. Defeat reaches out its heavy hand to the uttermost corners of the earth and lays its burdens upon victor and vanquished alike." Benjamin Franklin is the author of this beautiful gem. There never was a good war, nor a bad peace. The unneutral foreign policy of the United States, in open violation of our own laws, has dragged us progressively, step by step, to the hellish war raging in Europe, now in its second year. The aggressors have been very careful not to molest us in any way. They're smart enough not to stir up a hornet's nest, and they have gone to great lengths to not offend us by word or deed. We understand well enough that they are not being discreet in their treatment of us because of any regard for our rights or because they love us. Exactly the opposite is true. They are merely being realistic and sensible. An invasion of America in the immediate future by any known aggressor or combination of aggressors would be the most insane, asinine, and reckless military venture imaginable. It would be almost as fantastic as an expedition from Mars. Hitler has proven that he is thoroughly bad, but he has not given any indication so far that he is reckless. Our house is not on fire, and it will not soon be on fire if we are wise enough to go about its protection in an effective and rational manner. 5 years from now, our situation may be changed. And especially will that be true if we fail to keep abreast of the times with our defenses. We do not need to proceed in a frenzied and hysterical haste, but neither do we have any time to lose. In our hearts we know that if we get into war now, we must go thousands of miles to fight. We also know that we are neither prepared nor equipped to fight such a war successfully. Nothing is quite so reckless in its terrible consequences to all that we hold worthwhile as to engage in a war likely to be unsuccessful. When we go to war, there must be no failure. France, anticipating help from across the Atlantic and from Russia, declared war on Germany when she herself was not prepared. And poor mistaken France is now no more. England declared war on Hitler and prepared afterwards, and her great empire is tottering and staggering from the impact. We must avoid such a debacle. We must profit from the unfortunate experience of others. This is a golden time for America to return to old-fashioned slogans and principles. Look before you leap. Count 10 before speaking an angry word. Stop. Look, listen, should be the watchwords of this government. May we have the intelligence and the foresight to count the costs before we go to war, the costs in blood and treasure and ideals. We should know before we take up the sword that our participation is certain to change our form of government into a temporary dictatorship with every indication that it will remain a permanent dictatorship. No one has imagination enough to estimate the blood, sacrifices, and burdensome taxes it will require to prosecute to a successful conclusion a long, drawn-out war. Our entrance into the war now raging in the Eastern continent would leave its mark upon every child born and not yet born in our land. Yes, indeed, we should count the cost. In the last World War, you escaped relatively easy, for both sides were almost exhausted before we entered. In that war, France, Belgium, Italy, Russia, and Japan were on our side. This time, all of these countries will be either impotent or against us. God never intended that we should police the world. Such a policy, unless accompanied by a program of exploitation to make it pay its own way, would break the back of every American taxpayer in a short time. We will not stoop to a policy of foreign exploitation or of compulsory and imposed commerce. Therefore, we cannot undertake the job of policing the world. To police the world would require a navy 10 times the size of our own navy and an army of millions, and we simply cannot finance such an undertaking. Our sphere of influence is not worldwide. We are not an imperialistic nation, and we have no ambition to build a great empire of far-flung colonies. Our natural aspirations are not for protectorates and foreign dominions. Our policy has ever been to live and let live. We desire trade based upon free and voluntary cooperation, and not a commerce that is imposed upon a subjected people. In that particular, we are unlike every European power, including Great Britain. Think seriously, therefore, my countrymen, before the die is cast. I plead with you to take war enough to keep our soldiers out of Europe and Asia. We must hold ourselves in readiness to succor a bleeding world when hostilities finally cease. Starving and discouraged humanity will need our assistance and our cooperation in that dark hour. Civilization, my friends, depends upon how much we really hate war. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Edwin C. Johnson, for your enlightening analysis. You have helped us clear away some of the smoke screens that becloud our thinking. You have shown us there is very real danger of being pushed headlong into somebody else's war. Ladies and gentlemen, war for America is not inevitable if we mind our own business. Let us not forget the cost of war. Let us stop this trend toward war. Let us build our defenses, build them strong, and keep them by all means for America. Write your congressman today to use all his influence for peace, not war. The America First Committee is working night and day to wake up the American people to the dangers which confront them. The committee needs money to carry on this work, to carry this message to all. Any contribution, 5 cents, 10 cents, a dollar, any amount, is welcome and will help. If you believe that our crying need is to keep America sane while the rest of the world goes mad, help us. If you believe that our crying need is to defend America first, help us. Send what you can now to the America First Committee, Board of Trade Building, Chicago. Our democracy is at stake. Help us in our cause. Your cause. America's cause. But do it now.
My country's here.